Jay Mariotti here, and I take no pleasure in the institutional self-destruction that is killing baseball. One scandal after another the past 25 years, from players abusing PEDs, to owners colluding against the union, to the latest gut bomb of corruption, electronic sign-stealing crimes that ironically are stemming from the sports mad rush to embrace technology and analytics. And make no mistake here, it is the owners and their self-serving commissioner who are sabotaging the sport with an alarming lack of oversight, again maneuvering and politicking to deflect blame for yet another scandal that unfolded right under their noses as they were busy counting unprecedented revenues from their media streams. As we saw in the steroids era, an era that never went away, with Bud Selig playing Mr. Magoo, Rob Manfred and the owners have been part complicit and part oblivious as word leaked in recent seasons. I heard it, you heard it, that the Astros, the Red Sox, and God knows how many other teams were participating in elaborate cheating schemes. And when media reports implicating the Astros and Red Sox finally forced the hand of Manfred, who, remember, protects and works for the owners, the baseball establishment acted shocked. Shocked! Yet, in the end, despite a scandal that ranks among the nakedly sleaziest in sports history, a Houston championship was tarnished, but not taken away, the punishment not matching the magnitude of the crime. And taking the hits were four men a layer beneath the owners. Jeff Lunau, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and Carlos Beltran, who did deserve punishment for being involved, but not while the Astros owner and the Red Sox owners go unpenalized and unscathed beyond fines and some draft pick losses. All of which reconfirms what we already knew. The men who run baseball are bigger crooks than the sign stealers themselves, as the sport's authenticity again slides into the sewer.
Welcome to Unmuted with Jay Mariotti,
the podcast devoted to making sports talk great again.
Few have made more impact in sports media than Jay, and certainly no one has been called more names. Some actually true.
Fuck you!
He's the fiercely independent lightning rod who has produced massive ratings for ESPN's Around the Horn, made powerful waves as a national and major market talk host, and ruled Chicago as a columnist for 17 years.
For 17 years.
Unmuted is a topical whirlwind that doesn't stop until all the news is analyzed. So here he is, back from his day job in Hollywood.
Back from his day job in Hollywood.
For the next half hour or so. Or maybe 40 minutes, depending on the Lakers, Raiders, Trump, and Odell Beckham Jr.'s latest mood swing. The one, the only, Jay Mariotti.
More on the baseball scandal in a minute, but let me appeal to the common sense of the NCAA, assuming that is possible. Please do not even think about punishing LSU and marring its perfect season, one of the greatest in college football history, because the screwballish former Tiger, Odell Beckham Jr., handed wads of cash to LSU players after the game on Monday night, the national title. He's throwing around money, making it rain. Talk about hijacking a victory with his trademark megalomania. Beckham also was caught on video slapping the backside of a male security guard inside the LSU locker room, and he faces an arrest warrant in New Orleans on a complaint of simple battery. So he's throwing around money, and he's slapping the ass of a male security guard. He's got to be in the center of everything, even though he had nothing to do with this championship. What a lunatic. Contrary to a school spokesperson who said on Monday night that the money was counterfeit, the bills indeed were real. That, according to Louisiana icon for life, Joe Burrow. Why did you go here, Joe? He said in a podcast interview, quote, "I'm not a student athlete anymore, so I can say, yeah," unquote, "it was real." What are you doing? This prompted LSU to look into the matter and contact the NCAA and the Southeastern Conference, knowing the cash payments are considered impermissible benefits prohibited by the NCAA under any circumstance, a rule that Beckham obviously was flouting. Why did LSU let him on the field, in the locker room? I know, he played there. He's famous, but he's more infamous than famous. And the minute you let him on the field, you're vulnerable to his idiocy. Now they have to work this out with the NCAA. I would never let him on campus again. If the money was real and the players kept some of it or all of it, they will have to return it, or insane as it sounds, LSU might risk vacating the national title. But think about this. How would the process of returning that money even take place? Who knows how much was handed out by Beckham? In the bigger, more ethical picture, I know a special champion team such as LSU with an all-time performer like Burrow should be rewarded with payments to players who generated mega millions in revenues for the university, the SEC, the city of New Orleans, and a TV partner such as ESPN. But paying college athletes is an ongoing debate for another day. For now, truth be known, Odell Beckham is an ass who stole from LSU's moment by, as usual, injecting himself into the news. Listen to him counting the cash and placing it in the palm of LSU receiver Justin Jefferson.
Let me see it. Let me see it.
Tell you what, the NCAA should contact New Orleans police, make sure Beckham spends a night in jail, then wave off any investigation of LSU. Please, NCAA, let this one pass and take solace, as we all will, if Beckham sleeps with some rats and feces for a night in a New Orleans clink. For proponents of expanding the college football playoff to 8 teams, the just concluded season doesn't provide robust reasons for change. Sorry. The best 3 teams by far were LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State, and they eliminated each other in a round robin that didn't need interference from the periphery. Yes, at some point, we'd all love to see a Cinderella team squeeze in as a number 8 seed and shock the world. That is the inherent beauty of March Madness. But in college football, we first and foremost want to identify the best and the baddest team. LSU was the best and baddest, one of the best and baddest of all time, in fact. And that's why the powers that be are in no rush to expand, nor should they be. Yeah, for a change, I'm on the same page with these dudes. No, we are not stupid. Rob Manfred and the owners heard the stories about electronic sign stealing, just as Selig and the owners had heard and read about steroids for years, but they have preferred to wear blinders, as Manfred's office was engaging in its own scam. Remember? Juicing baseballs to create a record home run frenzy that was disproportionate to reality and to history, and then de-juicing the balls this past postseason. How pathetic that a baseball sin is considered immoral and unethical only when the men in uniform are cheating or a general manager is cheating, not when the commissioner and the fat cats are cheating. This double standard is comical. These men on high with the money can screw around with the baseballs, which is cheating, just like PEDs, but they can just laugh it off or lie about it. But the players do steroids, and they're busted, and sometimes their lives are ruined. And now the lives of these men involved in this sign-stealing scandal, their lives are ruined, but the commissioner and the owners can screw around with the baseballs, and it's okay. What is wrong with this picture? So to protect the sport and the owners, that's what he's doing. Manfred doesn't target Astros owner Jim Crane, and certainly doesn't target the powerful Red Sox ownership tandem of John Henry and Tom Werner. And don't tell me they didn't know about all of this, because those three men didn't become billionaires by being oblivious to ethical wrongdoing. No, this is what went down with a carefully plotted response that certainly included the aforementioned owners. Major League Baseball targeted only the general manager and manager in Houston, Lunau and Hinch, for allowing the dirty deeds to happen on their watch using live video feeds to relay opponent signs, then banging that trash can in the dugout tunnel to alert batters to the called pitch, and in Hinch's case, admittedly knowing about the scheme, but failing to stop it. And Manfred targeted the mastermind behind the Houston and the Boston scams, Cora, who, according to Manfred, was involved in developing both the banging scheme in Houston, utilizing the replay review room in Boston to decode and transmit signs, and then through his active participation, implicitly condoning the player's conduct. It is absolutely devastating to a sport with sinking TV ratings and declining relevance in American culture and a possible labor impasse on the horizon that two of the last three World Series champs, the Astros and Red Sox, were crooked. After all, if baseball is not believable, if the players are juiced and the balls are doctored and the signs are being stolen with cameras, what is the point of watching anyway? Yet, rather than see the big, dark, ugly clouds hovering, Manfred and the owners are deluding themselves again. What else? Now that Cora, Lunau, Hinch, and Beltran have been fired by their teams, MLB expects the sport to resume in good, honest standing now, and that fans believe all is clean and right about the game again. All together now, and I can do this on a podcast. Bullshit. Do they actually think we're that stupid, that we would believe that the Astros and the Red Sox are the only rogue teams out there, and that Cora, Hinch, Lunau, and Beltran are the only bad guys? The Yankees have been investigated in the past. Why are they being protected? Beltran was involved in the Astros scandal as a player, yet the Mets hired him as a manager and kept him on through this investigation until pressured to force him out. But not until, did you read this? Mets advisor Jessica Mendoza, who also does Sunday night games for ESPN and a hideous conflict of interest. You should not be advising teams and then doing games on Sunday nights for ESPN. What is wrong with ESPN? Somehow she blamed the entire scandal on former Astro pitcher Mike Fiers. I think Fiers is a hero here, but she says it was, quote, tough to swallow, unquote, when Fiers rightfully blew the whistle on the Houston scam and set the punishments in motion. So she is blaming the whistleblower. That is scary. ESPN should get rid of her on the spot. That is not her role to be going after whistleblowers, unless, of course, ESPN feels the same way, which means they should get rid of their journalistic arm because they don't stand for journalism anymore if they let her continue to spew this nonsense. And for all the whining out here in LA where the Dodgers think they were rooked in losing back-to-back World Series to thieves, while battered Game 7 loser Yu Darvish tweeted out that he wants an LA victory parade, we would be foolish not to consider all feedback in the aftermath of the scandal, including an Instagram post from 10-year big league veteran and straight shooter Logan Morrison, who wrote on Instagram, and I'm quoting, "I know from firsthand accounts that the Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, and Red Sox all have used film to pick signs," end quote, Logan Morrison. Yankees, Dodgers, why isn't MLB investigating those teams? Dig deeper. The Dodgers were accused by the Brewers during the 2018 playoffs, and then by the Mets during the 2019 season. The Yankees were accused by the Astros in 2018 during the Cubs' magical title run of 2016. Catcher Yasmani Grandal, then with the Dodgers, now with the White Sox, worried about the Cubs deciphering signs when runners reached base, saying, and I'm quoting Grandal, "We know who is getting the signs. We know what they're doing. We know what they do to get it," end quote. Why wasn't the commissioner investigating back then? And Trevor Bauer, of course, weighing in, suggesting again that Astros pitchers have been, quote, "melting pine tar, Coca-Cola, firm grip, and rosin together in a Coke can on the stove to create their substance of choice," end quote, noting that, quote, "some teams just know how to weaponize data better than others. Teams that know how much foreign substance affects spin and what that does to your profile as a pitcher strongly encourage their players to use it," end quote. Trevor Bauer. Not the first time he has said this, so why didn't Manfred investigate then? It took media reports by the Athletic website to get Manfred off his ass. What kind of a commissioner is he? All of which begs a mind-boggling question. Just how many teams have been cheating, and how long have they been cheating? And as these accusations were being made through the years, again, why wasn't so-called commissioner Rob Manfred addressing them? And the nerve of these owners to express anger the last few days that Crane wasn't directly suspended or banned when it's quite possible their own houses are dirty. Jerry Reinsdorf, White Sox, you have been accused of these things in the past. Disgustingly, MLB is only scratching the rogue surface in the scandal, but will not be investigating any further because Manfred is trying to rescue what is left of the sport's integrity and his own bumbling legacy. The Astros and Red Sox should have been forced, as I said the other day, to vacate their championships. Nope. Crane, Henry, and Werner keep their hardware, pay a fine, lose some draft picks as the four scapegoats fade away. Crane, the only central figure to even show his face at a news conference this week, says he already has put the scandal behind him. Good luck with that, Jim.
This is a tough day. I've had a lot of tough days over the year. But yeah, this is a tough one.
Okay, Kim, back here.
Jim, you've had Astro fans that have been with you since the rebuilding, the whole process of getting back up. What do you say to fans today to encourage them about hanging in there during this transition?
Listen, our fans are great. One of the reasons we're successful is we've got great support from the community, from the sponsors and the fans. So far, we haven't seen any change there. I think we're addressing the problem. We apologize to our fans and all of our sponsors and the city in general, and we're going to move forward. We cleaned house. It's behind us, and we're going to make this right, and we're going to play baseball come spring.
And in the Red Sox case, they were cheating even before Cora was hired. Fined by Manfred for using Apple Watches to swipe signs in 2017. He did investigate that because the Yankees made him. It didn't matter. The Red Sox kept cheating. Also, why were no players punished throughout all of this? According to Manfred's report, most of the Astros' position players in 2017 participated in the scheme. So I am to assume some of baseball's greatest stars were involved. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, George Springer, Carlos Correa. Some of the Astros told investigators they realized they were cheating and would have stopped if Hinch had made them. Oh, let's make the manager the scapegoat here. You could have stopped yourself, right? But the drums kept on banging behind the dugout. Oh, and the Astros, they'll be reporting to spring training as usual in a few weeks, as will the Red Sox players who benefited from their video room. Again, why are the players protected? Oh, because Manfred and the owners need them to sell the sport and don't want to anger them amid these sensitive labor talks. MLB continues to believe its own BS, expecting the sport to resume in good standing and fans to believe the game has been cleansed while ordering management and players from all 30 franchises not to comment any further, including the Dodgers. I would laugh if I wasn't about to cry knowing what baseball meant in my childhood, in my adult life, when the sport did matter. Just as players continued to use PEDs after Congress intervened and demanded that Mitchell report, teams will continue to use high tech to gain illegal advantages. The Den of Thieves has four fewer members, but the cheating will continue amid the usual cycle of complicity. Selig and the owners ignored rampant PED use for years as home runs were rejuvenating baseball after a damaging 1994 work stoppage. 26 years later, a dying sport is descending toward the same disastrous labor hell. A recent series of one-year deals for monster talents, such as Mookie Betts and Chris Bryant, shouldn't make anybody feel comfortable about the sport's labor future, with Bryant's Cubs teammate Anthony Rizzo referring to Bryant's situation as, quote, cutthroat, unquote, amid escalating trade talks. I would be locking up these stars for the long term, as the Twins did with Josh Donaldson at $92 million over 4 years, but the owners continue to screw around with the compensation system in lieu of simmering union unrest and a shutdown. They say the scab of scandal always heals in this sport, from the Black Sox to Pete Rose to PEDs, but this time, with football and basketball dominating 21st century sports culture in America, baseball's future never has appeared more bleak and desperate. If the sport goes away again, this time, the fans might never return. Of the remaining NFL possibilities, we dearly want a Chiefs 49ers Patrick Mahomes Nick Bosa Super Bowl. What we don't want in Miami, Packers Titans, which would be akin to Maroon 5 playing at halftime. Oh, that happened last year. Yet in what is supposed to be the age of the prolific, dazzling quarterback, Derrick Henry looms as the battering ram who could disrupt the wishes of the league, Fox Sports, they're doing the Super Bowl, and an entertainment world that wants the transcendent Mahomes and his innocent crossover endorsement appeal on one side, facing a 49ers team oozing of charisma and swagger and marketable stars in Bosa, Jimmy Garoppolo, and George Kittle. Can Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, whose father is the chairman and CEO of FedEx, why didn't he follow the family plan? Oh, by the way, a Mariotti aside here, got to do this. Once upon a time, an agent of mine said, I've got a young writer for you to talk to. I said, okay. So I had lunch in New York with a young writer named Jordan Schultz. Okay. Jordan, I think, is doing well in sports media, last I saw. And I asked Jordan, why do you want to do this for a living? And he told me he loved basketball and so on. And I said, Jordan, if I were you, I'd be following in the family footsteps of your father, one Howard Schultz, who founded Starbucks and is a multi-billionaire. A Mariotti aside. Anyway, Arthur Smith's dad is the chairman and CEO of FedEx. Can he actually pull off this upset via ground and air, get it, in the AFC Championship game? Ball control is the recipe, and the record-shattering Henry is good for 175 yards or more in the playoffs so far, most of those yards after contact. And the Tennessee defense is much sturdier than that of the Texans, who allowed an unprecedented flurry of 7 consecutive touchdowns to the Mahomes offensive. And didn't the Titans beat the Chiefs in November, and didn't Henry rip off a 68-yard scoring run? I know this is wishful thinking. It isn't. I want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but I'm rooting for a classic game. Maybe we will get one. By the way, the NFL has 3 female controlling owners. One of them is the Titans boss, Amy Adams Strunk. She is the daughter of the late Bud Adams, and she spoke the other day. I do this from time to time.
It is about getting that Lombardi trophy. It truly is, but there's something to me about the journey to get there that's really just as much fun, because I'm sure for the teams that have gotten that Lombardi trophy, you know, you wake up the next week and you're kind of like, oh, God, that was great, but wow, okay, it's done. Darn, I liked how it went. And that really is something to remember, that the journey is just as much fun as the prize at the end.
The problem for her is Kansas City is more rested in playing in front of the crazies at Arrowhead, who are feeling the Chiefs' first Super Bowl appearance in 50 years, while the Titans, though we love them, are trying to finish what would be an all-time impossible trifecta, beating the Patriots, Ravens, and Chiefs on the road in successive weeks. Besides, keeping Mahomes off the field doesn't work for long, as we saw last weekend when he quickly overcame a 24-0 deficit. Here was Mahomes knowing he cannot look ahead to the Super Bowl when the Titans never say die.
I mean, with the Titans, I mean, the physicality, the determination that they play with, offensive, defense, and special teams, I mean, they really, they're going to get after it every single play. They're going to fight for every single yard. Their defense is going to fly around to the ball. They'll chase down a runner if he breaks. They're not going to give up on anything. So I think the biggest thing is just trying to match that, trying to go out there and give everything you have to in order to go out there and play a good football game and try to come out with the victory.
This game features the Maximus of modern offenses, created by Andy Reid, looking for his first Super Bowl berth in 7 conference title game tries against an old-school team with Coach Mike Vrabel channeling his mentor, Bill Belichick. Henry will get his yards, but Mahomes and Reid fittingly will hoist the Lamar Hunt Trophy, which honors the Chiefs' founder and patriarch. Chiefs 34, Titans 24. It's a good thing Aaron Rodgers does work for State Farm, because the old man will need strong health insurance after the NFC championship game. The 49ers front four is lethal, the best in the sport, and even if the Packers use an extra blocker and Rodgers gets rid of the ball quickly, Green Bay will not score enough against this defense, which shut down the NFC's best runner, Dalvin Cook, and limited the potent Vikings to 7 first downs. Only if Garoppolo is pressured by Preston and Dazarius Smith and throws more picks, his one bugaboo, will the Packers stand a chance. It's time for Jimmy G to break out and outperform Rodgers, one of his idols growing up. Yes, Aaron is getting old.
Aaron, just the way he processes information quickly, the way he could scramble and make throws on the run, he really does it. He has a little bit of everything. And, I mean, just watching his film, I love watching it to, you know, prepare and also to learn from him and, you know, see things that he does. And it's just, it's impressive, man. I mean, he does it at such a high level for such a long time now. It's just, you know, you got to tip your hat to him.
And if the Niners are overconfident playing at home, Coach Kyle Shanahan addressed it by telling them, quote, "Don't be that stupid," unquote. We are watching the breakout of Shanahan, John Lynch, and a complete 49ers team that could rule the NFC for years. 49ers 30, Packers 16. While party animals prepare for South Beach debauchery and Fox anticipates its $5.6 million per 30-second Super Bowl ad, yikes, former NFL Defensive Player of the Year Luke Kuechly is retiring from the Carolina Panthers. It's the latest reminder that brain trauma can kill, and at age 28, Kuechly is very smart to protect his long-term health after a series of concussions through the years. He said his final goodbye via a video from the linebacker's room inside the Panthers stadium.
It makes me sad because I love playing this game. I've played it since I was a little kid, and it's my favorite thing in the world to do. And the memories I have from this place and this organization and playing on the field with these guys, they'll never go away. And I'm sitting right now in the linebacker room, and the amount of memories I've had from this room alone could fill a book. And these are the best times of playing. Obviously, on the field is awesome, but some of the best times of playing this game are behind the scenes in the locker rooms, in these meeting rooms, on the buses, traveling the games. You can't replicate that anywhere else, and that's why this is so hard to do, to move on in a different direction. But in my heart, I know it's the right thing to do. And
regardless of TV ratings increases, the dark clouds of CTE always will hover over the NFL and should have been investigated by a complicit league decades ago instead of playing dumb like Big Tobacco did. An intense Netflix documentary focuses on findings that repetitive head trauma led to the violent behavior of Aaron Hernandez, but also went beyond CTE in his case, concluding that a violent father and Aaron's own sexual confusion in his teen years, yep, his high school quarterback quoted on the show saying they were in a sexual relationship, might have manifested anger that led to his murder conviction and subsequent suicide in prison. I would recommend watching that documentary series. I don't care how badly Kevin Stefanski wanted to be an NFL head coach, the Cleveland Browns are not an NFL franchise, proving it when absurd demands were made of their new coach. Stefanski must show game plans to the meddling owner Jimmy Haslam on Fridays, and he must allow the former baseball analytics geek Paul DePodesta to be involved in that game plan and in play calling. DePodesta, whose role as Billy Beane's number two with the Oakland A's was played by Jonah Hill in Moneyball, yep, has been the Browns' chief strategy officer since 2016, but they haven't had a winning record in the 4 years since then. Yet while head coaches keep getting fired, Dee Podesta keeps his job with added input. No. As long as Haslam and his wife own this team, the Browns are doomed to clownhood. And Joe Burrow barely had finished smoking his post-championship cigar when his muse, LSU assistant Joe Brady, was named offensive coordinator of the Panthers under head coach Matt Rhule. Question, if the Cincinnati Bengals are drafting Burrow number one overall, why wouldn't they have moved quicker to sign Brady as their offensive coordinator? Answer, the same reason the Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1991. The owner, Mike Brown, is out of touch. To the NBA, where a stagnant season filled with injuries, load management, Twitter feuds, and declining ratings gets a jump start with the long-awaited debut of Zion Williamson, who is expected to return next Wednesday at home against San Antonio. It's uncertain whether his surgically repaired knee is healthy enough to produce the dunking shows from his college days, but Zion is vital to this league and to the future of basketball in New Orleans. And finally, we won't be flipping the remote when the Pelicans are making their numerous national TV appearances. Just so he knows, Williamson likely has no shot at Rookie of the Year, with Ja Morant in wow mode all season and somehow leading the Grizzlies into the number 8 spot in the West. And coaching in his lame duck season, it's hard to imagine Mike D'Antoni not getting the Ziggy if the Houston Rockets continue their inconsistent patterns. What a hellish time for Houston sports, huh? D'Antoni challenged his players to stop being selfish. That's going to be difficult when James Harden and Russell Westbrook are all-time ball-dominant monsters. And a lengthy post-game air-out session after another loss won't help in the long run. This has been a wicked time for the Rockets, from their latest playoff crash to the Daryl Morey tweet that might cost the NBA and the franchise billions, to the transition after Chris Paul was sent away by James Harden for Westbrook. D'Antoni is about out of time, but I love his accent, that drawl anyway.
No, it's concerning, but what I'm saying, to me, the focus is not on getting it right. The focus is more looking at the back of the jersey instead of the front of it. And we just need to get over it, and we will. They'll get back. And, again, every ship, you know, gets rocked sometimes. We are getting rocked right now. 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked, we were in a great place, team-wise. And it's that delicate of a thing. You got to be careful. And right now we're shaky, but we have veterans that'll right the ship up.
And might it be time for Toronto, if not all of Canada, to renounce its kinship with Drake? Turns out Kawhi Leonard and Paul George made their decision to join the L.A. Clippers at Drake's home outside of L.A., where Leonard was staying last summer. As title conversation revolves around the Lakers and Giannis Antetokounmpo, Leonard reminded us that he knows how to win Larry O'Brien trophies, something Giannis and Anthony Davis haven't come close to doing. With 43 points in 29 minutes the other night, Leonard told the moody Clippers to be patient about their championship aspirations here in mid-January.
We just can't be in a rush. That's what I'm telling them. Just be patient. You know, it's hard to win a championship. The pressure isn't even on us now. We got to, you know, just enjoy the process.
Kawhi, the pressure is on you. Why would you say there's no pressure on you? Yeah, you have pressure. The minute you signed here, you had pressure. And Tyronn Lue, Clippers assistant, says he wishes he still were coaching the Cavaliers. Need I remind Lue that he was unhealthy and had to take a leave of absence from that franchise and was fired shortly into last season by the impulsive owner Dan Gilbert, who forgot all about Lue's championship trophy that he produced? Enjoy the big time in life here in L.A., T. Lue. You will have another shot at a top job. Now it's time for The Buzz, our deep dive into sports and life. Chris joins the program. Chris, you just saw Odell Beckham Jr. hijack LSU's title night. If the NCAA vacates LSU's championship because Beckham distributed money to players, will you be joining me in a mass protest outside the NCAA offices in Indiana? I think the NCAA should pay a call to New Orleans police make sure Odell is convicted for swatting the male security guard on the ass, and then leave LSU alone.
I mean, Jay, don't we find it ridiculous that this is really a story? So Julian Edelman is jumping on cars drunk in Beverly Hills, and that's nobody's talking about that. But, you know, OBJ, who is an idiot, yes, but is handing out money to players. Oh, no. They just won the national championship. I mean, honestly, is it really that? Are we really making this a big deal? And he smacked the butt of a police officer. I think we all know he was doing it in jest and just having a good time. Now, is he an idiot? Was he trying to make an amazing moment for LSU and Coach O and all the great players on that team? Was he trying to make it about himself? Yeah. Was he trying to get attention? Sure. But really, an arrest warrant? This is just a joke.
And Chris, you texted me the other night delighting in how baseball is killing itself with self-inflicted scandals. At what point do the fans simply stop caring and stop watching this gnarly sport altogether?
Well, Jay, I barely watch baseball as it is. I find it painful. So to me, I actually think a bit, if they were just open about stealing the signs, like almost make it a sidebar of games, how many signs could they steal? Could they actually tip people off? Heck, you know what baseball should do? They should just put the signs up on the screen and alert the players. Put it up on the scoreboard. Hey, a fastball's coming. Because at this point, baseball's a joke. They covered up a steroid scandal for how long? But because it brought baseball back, we all just pretended, okay, fine. Now we're hiding a cheating scandal of the last two teams that won the World Series? This is ridiculous. And again, I'm sure they're not the only two teams. They're the only two teams that have been caught. But let's be honest. It's just a joke, Jay.
And Chris, pick the NFL winners this weekend and explain why.
Niners, Titans, Jay. Niners, Titans. As a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I root for a few teams, but as an Eagles fan in the TO years, other than the Super Bowl the TO got to, they choked ultimately in the Super Bowl. But Andy Reid has a way of choking out in those championship games. Derrick Henry, he's a beast. And the Titans have that Cinderella momentum. So Niners, Titans to play in the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Chris. Which brings us to quickies, which are just that quick. All I have to say to Antonio Brown is this. When agent Drew Rosenhaus, who would have been patient if Charles Manson was his client, terminates his relationship with you, then I think you have no future in the NFL or possibly in life itself. Sorry, but I don't understand how WNBA players will receive significant pay increases in an irrelevant league with low TV ratings when the U.S. women's national soccer players have to sue a governing body that won't pay up for their world supremacy. The NBA believes there is strong potential for growth in the WNBA, but I'm thinking this is more about Commissioner Adam Silver's pledge to be woke than any just reward. The women's soccer team drew whopping TV numbers as it conquered all comers. Megan Rapinoe was Sports Person of the Year in many quarters. Why must this team beg and pay lawyers? Nothing is new about NHL teams firing coaches. It seems to happen as much as line changes. But already this season, seven teams have made changes, including the Vegas Golden Knights, whose miracle-like infancy in the league was punctured when Gerard Gallant was fired and replaced by the deposed coach of the rival Sharks, Pete DeBoer. Some of these firings were self-inflicted. Bill Peters was canned in Calgary after it was disclosed he directed racial slurs at a Nigerian-born player in the minor leagues 10 years ago, and Dallas's Jim Montgomery was fired for unprofessional conduct and since has undergone alcohol rehab. Still, seven firings is overkill, with teams obviously trying to copycat the St. Louis Blues, who named Craig Berube as interim coach in November 2018 and promptly rose from the dead to win a Stanley Cup. Mike Sullivan led the Penguins two consecutive cups after taking over in December of 2015. But my question is, why wait until a few weeks into a season? Why not have the foresight to make these moves in the offseason so you don't have to dig out of holes? And Dick Vitale wants to keep broadcasting college basketball until he's 100. He means it, baby! And you can blame me in part just out of college. I was handed a beat just ahead of bowling on the Detroit News Sports Desk, the sports media beat. All you sports media critics need to realize I was 21 years old doing your job. So if you're getting too big-headed, I was 21. And listen to the story. Vitale, just fired after a volatile and brief run with the Detroit Pistons, was hired by a local rock and roll station to do morning sports commentaries. They would sound something like this. It's going to be a crazy year for the Tigers in Tigertown. That would be Dick Vitale on WRIF, where the afternoon DJ would say, baby! I loved Vitale's enthusiasm, and I wrote it in a column. And then a fledgling TV sports network called ESPN hired Dick Vitale. And the rest is the stuff of history and eardrum pain everywhere. I don't know. Did I create the Dick Vitale phenomenon? Maybe I did. Baby! Baby! Wait. Time out. I just discovered something here. The afternoon DJ, Arthur Penhallow, would go, baby! And then now Dick Vitale is known as baby! Did he steal from Arthur Penn? I need to get out of here.
And now a final Mariotti commentary too hot for ESPN, too smart for the internet, and too chill for political activism. Take it away, Jay.
What does it say for the condition of sports in 2020 and the collective moral compass of millennials and Gen Zers when Conor McGregor's return to the octagon is greeted with positive, enthusiastic buzz? ESPN is promoting this like some colossal Super Bowl event. UFC is touting it as an all-time comeback. Look, here's the truth. McGregor is an out-of-control lout, a horse's arse, in my lame Irish brogue, a drunk who admitted to imbibing all week before his last fight in 2018, and he has been arrested so many times for violent acts that I have lost track. He's also being investigated, according to the New York Times, in two sexual assault cases in his native Dublin, one at a hotel and another in a vehicle outside a pub. When asked if he could deny those allegations 100%, McGregor replied, quote, yes, bleeping hell, unquote. Yeah, thanks for that. Now, we're going to celebrate him again as he takes to the ring in Vegas against somebody named Cowboy Cerrone. Here was Conor fittingly asked a question by another attention moth, Chad Ochocinco Johnson.
Hey, this question's for Conor. This is my first UFC presser.
Excellent. Saturday. Welcome. Welcome.
Saturday will be my first UFC match.
Excellent.
I'm not a gambling man, but if there was an event where I would bet the house, it would be this Saturday. I want to know, before I bet this money, is it, how confident are you in Saturday's fight?
Welcome to the best show on earth, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We're honored to have you, sir. I'm extremely confident, if you can't tell. I'm coming in with full preparation, full commitment, and full confidence in my striking abilities and my shots. And who knows, maybe a submission, but I'm going to be going for the knockout.
People must have something better to do with their lives and their money than to watch this dreck and put an estimated $80 million in McGregor's pocket this Saturday night. But they're going to watch anyway, then hope for a rematch against Floyd Mayweather, even though the first fight between those two lunkheads was a $600 million farce. This is not an okay boomer rant here. This is a commentary on human life and how not to waste it. That's our show. For our producer and editor, Chris, I am Jay, reminding you to never ever let anybody mute you in life, and thank God I have not been muted, folks. Make it ring, girl, make it ring. 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 해주하는 생각. What if it's just me? 영화 한 편 끝나듯이 As real as it can be 급급했던 기억들은
Mother Russia in my cup, and my glass is fogging up. Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah, hey dog, hey, what's up?
When the sweaty walls are banging, I don't...